Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This is a CC Radio podcast.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling, I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get is a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. You are listening to Believe Paranormal and UFO Radio. My name is Cade Moyer, and thanks for tuning in. If you've had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook at facebook.com/believeUFORadio. If you enjoy this episode, there are a few things you can do to help the show. Firstly, you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Or you can share the show around social media with your friends and family, and that would help us grow. Tonight, I'm joined by Erica, and Erica thinks she might be haunted. Erica, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It is really, really exciting to have you on, because I've only actually had a handful of people who have had, I guess, a similar situation to what you have. And are you able to kind of go back to the first encounters where you think you may have started to become a haunted individual?
Yeah, of course. So I think it would have been roughly 5 or 6, but at that stage, you don't really know the paranormal. It was just an odd experience that made me scared. But reflecting back on it, I know it had to have been a paranormal experience. So we're living in like a kind of an old farmhouse, and we had the old metal shutters on blinds, and I'd always sleep facing the window. It's just something I always did as a kid, but after this experience, I refused to sleep facing a window up until I was 12, 13. I'd always face a wall no matter where I went. So what happened was something caught my attention outside, and it was these two little boys. They had to have been roughly the same age. All I can recall was that they look like the Oliver Twist era, so like 1830s.
Oh, they like with the little caps on and everything.
Yeah, so that's what I remember, is them having like the little, you know, train hats and the suspenders and everything. And I could see them in such detail, but they were white translucent, and they were just pointing at me and giggling.
Really?
And then, yeah, so gave me a bit of a fright. And then I was, it's kind of like I was stuck in a trance. And then all of a sudden the blinds had fallen off the hinges and fell to the ground. And then that's what kind of snapped me out of it, because the blinds had actually fallen off the hinges.
Wow, that's incredibly creepy. You've got a whole bunch of things going on there, and to have that happen when you're 5 or 6 years old, that'll be terrifying.
Yeah, so I've always kind of questioned, you know, my mental state, but it happened so many, like I'm 25 this year, and it happened 20 years ago, and I still hang on to that memory, and you question it, like it had to have happened, like it definitely had to happen if I've, you know, kept this in my head for so long.
And it's an incredible encounter, because it sounds like it's happened in perhaps a house or a property that has a bit of history with it being, well, I guess it sounding like it was quite an old establishment that you're staying in.
Yeah, I'd say so. The town is quite an old town. It's like a country town, not made up of many people. And it was just a house that was passed down in families. But we moved out of it when I was 7 up to the coast.
Did you have any other experiences in that house?
No, that's the only one that I can really recall, because it was just so out of the ordinary. But I can't remember anything, if anything did happen in that house. But that's all I can remember.
Did you ever speak to your parents about that? Or do you have a, like, say, a brother or a sister that may have encountered the same thing?
No, like, I think I was just so young at that point that I didn't even think to ask. Like, I think I only realized that it was paranormal when I was about 10 or 11. But the subject was so far gone that I just didn't bother to ask my brothers or mum if they experienced anything. But I do remember there was this bathroom in the house that was pink, and I hated it. It was just such a creepy bathroom. And I just remember we always took showers. We never took baths, because I hated that room so much.
I always say trust your gut when you have a feeling like that, because I think it leads to a lot of energy in a situation like that. And you kind of answered one of the questions that I was going to ask you about, I guess, when you were so young, what you thought it was. But it, like you said, it was about 11 or 12 when you realized that may have been something paranormal.
Yeah, definitely. That's for sure.
And when you saw it at the time, did you, and I know it was a fair while ago, but what were you thinking when you were able to see through these children?
Fear. It was just like the fact, and I felt embarrassed at first because they were laughing at me, and that's what caught my attention, was that they were laughing at me, and then that they weren't, it was nighttime, like it was just scary, the fact that there was kids out there laughing at me, and the fact that they just didn't look like a normal kid. So I guess it was like a combination of, you know, embarrassment because they're laughing at me, and fear that it's something that I've never seen before. And then it reflected in me always facing the wall, sleeping then on.
Yeah. And could you actually hear them audibly laughing?
Not that I can't remember, but it's just the whole demeanor of when a little 5-year-old points at you and starts chuckling at you kind of thing. It was the whole, that's what I remember.
Yeah, wow. That, and you know what, for a 5 or 6-year-old, even now, that would be creepy for me.
Yeah, definitely.
Have you had more experiences like that?
Yeah, I'd say I've only seen, a couple figures throughout my life. I've just had more ordinary things, because, like, the next house we moved to, I would have been around 8, and I hated this house. It's still in our family. Like, my grandmother owns it because we moved up. And we call it the longhouse because it is literally a hallway and then parts off to every room, if that makes sense.
So you can kind of see the front door and the back door at the same time?
So you walk in and then you look to your left and there's a hallway through and like rooms, and then you walk to your right and there's a hallway to the kitchen. So you could literally stand at the kitchen, look down the hall, and you'll see the last room, and there was about 3 bedrooms and the bathroom on the left-hand side.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. So the house just creeped me up because it's like you had to walk so far to get to that last bedroom, and it was just, you always felt like you were being watched in the house.
So you felt like there was a presence in there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then that walk up the hallway was just torture because you just felt eyes on you as you're walking to your room. And because I was the only girl out of 3 brothers, I always had my own room. And then there was this one night, it sounds like absolutely crazy and I cannot explain it, but I don't know if my eyes play tricks on me, but all of a sudden I could see flying jellyfish in my room, and it sounds silly, but it was like there were like neon lights kind of floating, and then they're wearing top hats and bow ties, and they were just floating all in my room, and I was scared. Like, you think it would be such a funny thing to see, but I was terrified of what I was seeing. And I told my mum, like, I begged my mum, like, I said, I don't want to have a room to myself anymore. And, like, I asked her if I could please share a room with my little brother, and I did until I was 12.
Could you see any detail to these flying things in your room?
No, it was literally, the only way I can describe it is just like a jellyfish with the you know, blob on top and then it's little tentacles, but it was just all like pinks and purples. But it's just so bizarre because, like, I'm eight. Like, I just don't know how these things just appeared. Like, and it's just like, it's not a ghost. It's not, you know, like, what is it? It was just, it was scary because it's just like my eyes were just doing something that I've never done before, and I've never had that experience ever again. And the fact that it was so terrifying for me.
And have you ever encountered what it was, I guess, showing you to be? So it was the jellyfish. Did you ever see anything like that ever again?
Oh God, no. Like I've seen, you know, like mists and dark shadows and stuff, but I've never seen, you know, a colourful jellyfish to where you think it would be, you know, a happy thing to see, but it was in fact terrifying.
And you didn't have that influenced by anything in your life? Like, it wasn't in a book or anything like that where it may have been mimicking something?
The only reference could be SpongeBob. But, like, other than that, like, no, I don't know. I just don't understand how it made me so scared. Where if I'm, you know, on SpongeBob, it's like a funny kind of thing where in that instance it was scary for me.
No, and that's absolutely fair enough. I mean, if I saw something like that, I think the terror would take over before the intriguing aspect of what was actually going on. And to experience that again at such a young age, that's quite incredible. And for you to, you know, handle it as well as you did, that's really a credit to yourself. Did anyone else in that house ever see anything like that?
No, at that stage, no one's ever like told me. But the next house we moved to, that's when my family started experiencing things as well. So it was a bit of a confirmation that, you know what, this isn't just me, it's real kind of thing.
Yeah, right. So, are you able to go into that for me?
Yeah, sure. So we moved again to a new house and we weren't there for long. So, you know, wasn't there for long to something to happen. But it was about 10 at that point, and my mum was with me and I was home because I was sick from school. So I was out in the deck in the sun doing my own thing and mum was out in the garden. And then, so she's in distance, so if she ever called to me, I would hear her perfectly fine. And then all of a sudden I hear this very faint Erica, someone calling my name, and it was like an elderly lady calling out my name, and I just, you know, kind of thought it was mum. So I wanted to see what she wanted, and she's like, no, I didn't call you, but I heard it too. So then that kind of, you know, was like, oh, all right then. Okay. So that would kind of set in stone that this stuff is actually happening.
Yeah, and the fact that that's a whole different house again, that's in, really does give a lot of credit to the fact that you may have something following you and you're not...
Yeah.
Because the odds of going into house after house after house and every single one being haunted is almost second to none. There would be absolutely zero chance that that would ever, ever happen.
Yeah, no, that's like, and the fact, I can't remember too much of that house because we weren't there for long. Like, we had to have been there for 6 months on a 6 month lease because it wasn't that long at all, because then we moved again across the town. And this place, I don't reckon this was to do with me, the house, like being haunted. I honestly reckon the next house we moved to was just dark,
right,
and evil.
Can you go into that one for me?
Yeah, no, of course. So I was, you know, like 11 or 12, and I don't know if it's puberty coming out, you know, where you start being mean to your mother, but it just tore the relationships apart in the house. It made things very, very tense between my mum and I, and we fought like crazy, but it's not like, you know, normal classic mother and daughter fighting. Like, it was evil fighting. And she would go off at me sometimes because I would leave my pajamas in her room, but I have no reason to get changed in my mum's room because where the bathroom was, my room was the closest and then hers. So there's no need for me to do it. And then it got to the point where she just kept telling me, you know, don't leave your pajamas in my bedroom. And it get to a point where, you know, she's telling me the same thing over and over again not to do, and she thinks I keep doing it, but I'm not doing it. And it gets to the point where it's like the cracking point.
Yeah, that's really tough, isn't it?
Yeah, so that was, you know, it was as if something there was picking fights between everyone.
Yeah, the flight. It sounds like it was baiting everyone in that house.
Yeah, no, definitely. And, you know, me and my little brother run amok, but we used to just bash the absolute hell out of each other. But I don't know if that's a sibling rivalry, but it was pretty intense. And then the next thing that happened was the scariest. My elder brothers were picking on me. And as you do when your brothers are picking on you, like, I ran to my room, started crying in my bed. And then all of a sudden I felt a presence come in the room, and I initially thought that, oh, you know, is mum coming in to make sure that I'm okay? And then I roll over and it's not my mum at all. And it's like, oh, I get so shaky every time I tell the story, but it was this huge dark figure, like the size of a door frame, and he was just black and buff and had a top hat on. You couldn't see any facial features. He was just dark, and he was just evil. I just felt evil. And then I rolled over, I'm like, go away, and rolled back, and it was gone. I just legged it out of that room as quick as I could to go to my mum.
Oh wow, that's terrifying. So essentially you saw like an 8-foot silhouette with a top hat on.
Yeah, basically, but you couldn't see any details. It was just this whole black outline mass. But, like, you know, all black, and then you can just see the outline of it.
So did it look like a solid person?
Oh, no, it was like a black mass. It was just, there was no solidness to it. You couldn't see through it, but it was just, I guess you can say, a really dark cloud of smoke.
Yeah.
I guess you can say.
Yeah, yeah, like the edges were a little bit fuzzy. It had the shape of a person, but it wasn't a solid person is what you're trying to say?
Yeah. Definitely.
And what's really interesting about that is it had a top hat on.
Yeah, I don't know. And then I found out a couple of years ago, like, I was watching one of the YouTubers that I really like, and he was talking about, like, paranormal experiences people have. And he was saying that apparently, and then he started talking about that exact thing. And I was like, what? And I'm like, I thought, like, this is the only thing I've experienced, but apparently it's a dark omen, apparently. That's what I found out later on in life. And then I was like, well, nothing really dark has happened yet, so what's going to happen?
It's kind of known as the Hat Man.
Yeah, I think that's what
And we've actually had someone else previously on the show who's had an encounter with the Hat Man, and he also said that this I guess, presence was in an incredibly tall man.
Yeah, it was like a mountain, like he was thick and just tall.
And did you ever see that again in that house?
No, I didn't see anything else. That was the thing I saw. But then after that house, it got so bad between my mum and I that I actually had to move with my dad.
Oh, wow. So what happened when you left the room? Did you tell your mother? Did you tell your siblings about what happened?
I can't recall telling them. I really can't remember. I just remember that moment in time. I can't remember what happened afterwards. All I know is that I ran to my mum, but I'm pretty sure my mum just palmed me off. But, yeah, I don't remember telling them at all.
How long did you stay in this house after this encounter happened?
I can't put a timeline on that. It's just all these little things added up. And then just before I was going to hit high school, that's when I moved.
This is all happening. You're quite young. You're experiencing this all through your life. At what point?
Yeah.
You're now 12 years old. And what do you think, what is going through your mind now?
Well, at this stage, you know, between 8 and 12, I knew exactly what the paranormal was. And I just remember, like, I did have, like, you know, a bit of a fascination around it because it was happening to me and I wanted to know more. But all I recall in that whole, you know, 8 to 12 period is that I was always terrified. I was petrified every house we went to, and it got to the point where I would sleep under the doona cover in summer because I was so scared. And I just remember I could never breathe because I would be hiding under the covers and I would sweat so bad. And it got to the point where I was not suffocating myself, but to the point where I'd have to take the covers off and have a, you know, breathe because I just suffocated myself because I was so scared.
Yeah, wow, that's so terrifying, that's the way that you felt you had to live through that period of your life, and that's just terrible.
Yeah, definitely. But it's not over yet. So moved my dad, you know, thinking things are going to get better. Relationship-wise, my mum and I restored our relationship. And she's the best mum I can ever ask for now, which is good. But it never ruined any relationships after that. But my dad lives in a really old house, and we do know that there was a death in the house. So we don't know if it was, you know, his presence in the house, but Dad did say and has confirmed that it's an old place, and at time when everyone's in bed, you can hear someone walking through the house, just pacing through the house, and you can hear the chairs scraping along the ground of a night time as well. And then Dad said that he would clean his reading glasses before bed, put them up, and when he goes to put them on in the morning, there'll be fingerprints on them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So so there was things already happening that's paranormal. And he said that my eldest brother lived with him as well. And he said that there'll be times where he thought my oldest brother was sneaking out, and Dad will go check on him and he's fast asleep. But he's heard the whole someone walk through the house and shut the front door.
So your dad was having paranormal experiences before you got there?
Yeah, so, and then, you know, I started experiencing the same things, and then about 14, and I dabbled in something that I shouldn't have because I didn't have the knowledge and I would never touch one ever again, but I did a Ouija board.
Oh, no.
At that, yeah, I know. I'm so sorry for anyone that's listening. I regret it so much today, but I did a Ouija board with two other of my girlfriends, and because you're young and you're like, yeah, let's do this kind of thing. But we didn't understand what we're getting into. And we were playing, and I don't know if it's true, but what we heard was there's certain things that a spirit can do on the board to escape the board and go into like your realm. And it started doing one of them, and we're like, no, we've got to say goodbye. So we went to say goodbye, and it is legit as if another person joined the game and put their fingers on the queen and did not want it to say goodbye. And you could see that none of us were, like, doing it. It was, we all had, like, you know, our fingers pushed to the coin, trying to motion it to goodbye. And it was just so much pressure that was keeping it not from going. And then all of a sudden that pressure just let go. And we all jolted because of the force and just said, you know, goodbye. And packed up the game.
I would have been terrified in a moment like that. And being so young doing that, that's what was the vibe in the room?
Oh, there wasn't much of a vibe. It was just, you know, like we couldn't believe what just happened. Like it was as if someone opposite me had joined the game and started, you know, messing with us. But we packed it up, and that's the next thing that happened. We know that not one of us did it because we were so scared that we didn't leave each other's side. So the coin that we were using was one of the girls' mum's, like a real old coin that has been passed down in families. And that's why we used it, because us being idiots, we thought that, like, you know, oh, this is an old coin, this might, you know, trigger something. And it did. But I put that coin on a laptop bag on a coffee table on one side of the room. And one of the girls asked for it back, and I just told her where it was, and she said that it's not there. And I thought she was playing a joke with me, so I went and looked, and it wasn't there. And everyone started freaking out because it's just a coin, but it wasn't where I left it. And we searched, and it's not a huge room where we were, and we searched that whole room and couldn't find it. And then we went to the computer room to ask my dad, and Dad knew we were doing it. But we asked him, have you been in there? Have you been messing with us? And he's like, we actually didn't know that you guys were, you know, finished in that room. We thought you were still in there. So we know that they didn't do it. And then we went back in, and then we saw it had been perfectly placed on the opposite side of the room in the crack of the door, like perfectly symmetrical with the crease line of the door.
Oh, that's creepy.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Yeah, so then that just, after that we all slept in the same bed and just never, we never did it again.
So I have to ask, did things get worse after you played with the Ouija board?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes, it did. It got so much worse. This footsteps turned into stomping and doors started being slammed. There was one time I left the house and I got a phone call from Dad and he said, oh, how long ago did you leave? And I was like, oh, you know, roughly 5-10 minutes ago. And he's like, oh, so you didn't leave like 2 minutes ago. And I was like, no. And he's like, apparently all the front doors just started slamming.
Really?
So he thought I was having a bit of a tantrum, but I had already left the house. And so things started being dropped on the lino. There was one time where I came home early from school and, you know, was on the toilet with the door open doing my thing, and then I heard footsteps. I'm like, oh no, someone's home. Quickly got up and closed the door, and then once I was finished I went out and, you know, say hello to whoever else is home, and no one was home. And I was like, oh, all right, I clearly heard footsteps. So I went and sat on the couch and was just texting someone being like, you know, I'm a bit scared. And then all of a sudden hear a pen drop, and then I go to find out where this pen has dropped and I can't find the pen anywhere. And then around 17, oh, this one, I don't like this one. 17, my parents, you know, put faith in me and started leaving me to be home alone while they go traveling overseas while I still finished year 12. And there was one time that they left me, and if us kids ever forgot the key, there's a certain way you can get in the house. It's very challenging, but it's doable. But it's such a distinct sound that you'd know it if you know exactly what's happening if you heard it. And I heard it. I heard some pipes clinking. I heard the old string window open. I heard the indent of someone climbing into the sink. And then I heard someone jumping on the floor. And then I heard someone walking through the house. I did not click paranormal. I actually thought someone had broken into the house. Well, I'm 17, I'm home alone. I remember I had my hand on the door and I was crying, and I'm like, just, you know, just go out there, like, just do it, like, you got to get them and stuff. And I had the courage and then went out, and no one was there. All the doors were locked, the window was shut, everything was locked.
It sounds like this thing is trying to torment you.
Yeah, well, Dad agreed that with that house, things really happened when you're on your own. So unfortunately, nothing ever happened when you're in the presence of someone else. And that's something Dad can agree to. It gets worse when you're on your own.
Does that make you kind of wonder if these things are really happening?
Yeah. I question it all the time. But then at that moment, it's real. But then when you look back, you're like, is it real though? Like, how can that kind of stuff happen? And it happens so much, because then after that, while they were still gone, you know, the back door kept being open, and that's where it triggers in your mind, like, no, someone's out there missing with me. But then it was the creepier side, where if I ever went into my, you know, my parents' room or my own room, and as soon as I crossed that threshold, I would just get this horrible feeling and I would start crying because I got so scared.
So did you feel like a presence or something in the room?
I guess you can say that, but it's just like you're feeling fine, you're feeling happy, and then you walk over that threshold and then you're like, something's not right, like, and it hits your gut, and then you just, your eyes start tearing up and you just can't control yourself.
How long did that go on for? Was it the entire time that you're in that house?
Oh, yeah, the entire time, especially when you got left alone. So my parents left me another time, so they left me for a month each time. So I was on my own for a month dealing with that kind of stuff.
That's incredible. I mean, that would be such a, it would feel like you're walking on eggshells is the only way I can really put it, because these things are happening. You're not sure if they're real. You're not sure if they're happening. And you would really start to question, I would start to question my sanity of, is this actually happening? Is something going on here? Am I kind of making things up?
Yeah, no, that's exactly how I felt. And then what's odd is we got a dog, and we've never had a dog in, like, my dad being with my dad. It was one of those things where they're like, no, you're not getting a dog. And I just brought a dog home. I'm like, oh, we got a dog. But as soon as we got her, everything stopped and we haven't had anything happen since at that house.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. The cat used to react. The cat used to hiss at walls. But as soon as we got the dog, it just stopped. I think there's, you know, occasional couple creaks, but that could be just the old house. But even Dad agrees that once we got Maple, things really just stopped.
Yeah, that's weird. It's kind of like the dog is the savior of that house.
Yeah, pretty much. She's a saint. But no, unfortunately, once we got the dog, I moved to Melbourne for uni, and I moved to this, you know, new apartment, newly built. I'm like, oh, you know, nothing's going to happen. And I'm very, very cautious of where I live now because I refuse to live in old places.
Do not blame you.
Yeah. So I moved to this new apartment with like my ex-partner, and everything was fine for a while until around the time that my grandfather passed away. That's when it started spiking up again. So at this stage, I'm 19. At first it was, things would just start going click, click, like as if cupboards keep getting open and shut. The kettle would be turned on by itself. There was one time where I was baking a cake and my hair got tugged as if someone
You're
was
kidding.
Behind me, and yeah, no one was there. And then, there'll be times where, you know, we'll have arguments and we'll go to different rooms and I would hear footsteps coming to me. You know, I'm thinking it's him coming in to apologize to me, but there's no apology. And then I'll get scared and go back into the room. And then he would say that he heard the exact same thing, except footsteps coming to him, and he thought it was me coming to apologize.
Wow, that's insane.
Yeah, so then it started spiking up again. And then this next thing is a bit, you know, close to my heart. It's not scary. It's just very humble experience I had. One night I woke up, and it's one of those things where you wake up and you're wide awake, but you're not, like, you don't have to go to the toilet, you're not thirsty. You're just questioning, like, why have I woken up and I'm wide awake? And I roll over, and there's this, like, no resemble of a ghost. Like, it was just a solid person standing in my doorway. And it was soothing. It was so soothing, and it was just made me feel happy and like I'm safe. And then I just rolled over and went to sleep. And then in the morning, I was saying like, "What happened?" And I said that it was just so I couldn't get over how soothing it was. And I said, "You know, it was kind of a combination of my brothers. He was very tall. I knew exactly what he was wearing." I said he had to have been a year older than me. And then once I, like, you know, shared the information, I went and had a shower, and I sat on the floor and just really thought about it and tried to think about who it could be. So the backstory to this is that my mum actually had a stillbirth right before me. And this boy looked like a year older than me, and like my brother was meant to be a year older than me. And as soon as I connected those dots, a figure left my bedroom and went up the hallway as if to confirm you're correct.
That's kind of poetic, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and that was just after I lost my granddad. So, like, you know, I was going through, it was the first big death I've ever experienced. So I wasn't handling it that good. And then, yeah, I'm not sure if it was, but I connected the dots and then saw, you know, a figure leave my bedroom. So,
do you think it may have could have been a younger version of your grandfather coming to say goodbye?
I never thought of it like that, but yeah, because that's what I described. Was he very tall, and like my grandfather was a mountain. Like, I hope my kid doesn't have his legs because I'm gonna be tiny compared to him. But it could have been. I wouldn't put it past that.
It might be worth looking at some photos of your grandfather when he was a younger man and seeing if you could see any resemblance to that.
Yeah, no, because I have it so vivid in my head what he looked like and what he was wearing as well.
Yeah, it might be worth looking into, because I mean, either way, I mean, both of those, whatever way you read that encounter, it's a really beautiful encounter.
Yeah, and that's why, like, I want to really distinguish, like, it's nothing scary. Like, it was such a humble, like, I'm cherishing it because of either way it is. Like you said, I'm cherishing this memory that I had because it was just, out of all the bad paranormal experiences I've had, this is just a humble one.
You need to have some good ones in there.
Yeah, well, this is the only good one, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
So then, you know, after that one, as you do, you break up and you move on. So I moved in with one of my best friends and another girl. And this girl, she could actually see things. So that actually confirmed so much of what was going on in my life. And this house, also a new house, like newly built in Footscray. And it's just, the way to explain it is that mine and the girl's bedroom were upstairs and my best friend, she was downstairs. So it was one of those staircases where it was like a U-shape to go upstairs. And as soon as you hit a certain point on the bottom floor, you would feel like someone's watching you. And then you'd walk up the stairs and you would still feel like someone's watching you until you hit that corner. And then that whole feeling would go. The night we moved in, I don't know if this was the exhaustion, but it's what I saw. So I was sleeping in, you know, I just set up, like, I'm a very determined person. Like, I set my bedroom up that night because I'm such an organized person. And so I was sleeping in my bed. And one of those things, again, where I just woke up, but it's not like a soothing wake up. I was, you know, alarmed. And I looked over to my right in the corner in the door. There's a dark figure just in the, you know, corner of the bedroom. And it's one of those things where you get startled because you didn't expect to see that when you woke up. And then I rolled over and it was gone. But that was creepy that, you know, like the first night we moved to this place, I see something.
Yeah, wow. And that's kind of it letting you know I'm here with you, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you think it was the same shadow person that you saw at the previous residence?
Like the one, the really, really scary one that was when I was like 12, 11?
Yeah.
No, this wasn't nearly as big. This was just thin and, like, at least my height. Like, I'm 5'3", so it was short. But no, it wasn't the same. It was a quick instinct, and then I'm like, oh, like as if it was watching me sleep.
What did you tell the friend who's able to see things about
this? Yes, I told her. I told her everything I experienced, everything I felt, and she said that, what she experienced was scratching in her closet, and we shared a bathroom, and she said that she has seen something in the bathroom, but she refused to tell me because she didn't want to scare me. And like, she told me, you know, a fair bit of scary stuff. So I think this, whatever she saw, had to have been absolutely terrifying.
It's not only you experiencing things in this brand new house, it's someone else that you're living with as well.
Yeah, and then her mum came to stay and she could, you know, see things as well a lot better than her daughter. And there was a weekend that I think I was going home to my dad and I you know, said to my friend's mum, like, oh, you're welcome to sleep in my bedroom if you want to because I'm not going to be here. I'll change the sheets and go ahead. And she was, like, really grateful. And she said that when she was staying in my bedroom, my door handle was shaking as if someone was trying to get in every night that she slept in there. And then she said that she went to go to the bathroom and as she opened the door, there was a dog laying in front of my door. And like not like a normal, like not a live dog, like a ghost dog was at my door.
Really?
And then, yeah, and then as you hit my door, I have like a picture frame of like my family, friends and Maple, like my dog. And she said, she looked at it and she's like, it kind of looked like the dog. I'm like, well, I know it's not Maple because Maple's still kicking it. And then I'm trying to think, you know, what dog would be following me and I'm like, what would also look like Maple? And I have a best friend in Canada. We're literally twins. And she had an Australian Shepherd that kind of looked like Maple because Maple was a Kelpie Cross Lab and Maple was brown and Hayley's dog was brown and white. And that was the only connection that I could do. So I sent a picture to my roommate saying, I'll pass this along to your mum because that dog did die. And she sent it to her mum and her mum said, that's the dog.
Oh,
that
wow.
That was the dog that was sitting at your door. And that wasn't the first time the dog showed its presence. My roommate said that at times she would open the door to go to the bathroom and the dog would be in our hallway just sleeping. And then the creepy, you know, where it lined up with everyone was, you know, I'm uni, staying up late at night time, and I was on the street side of the house, and it was about 1:30 in the morning, and my best friend, her partner, had a like a work car that obviously had work tools in it, expensive work tools, and I could hear someone breaking into the truck. So I like looked back at the blind, saw this person, and I'm like, oh, like I'm not going to go out there because it's foot to grave, but I'm going to run down and wake him up and be like, someone's breaking into your car. But by the time he got out there, the person left. So all us three knew of it except for my roommate that can see things. So in the morning, I went in there and I was like, oh, like I've got to tell you this. And she was like, oh, what time did that happen? And I said, oh, about 1:30. She's like, around that time, she heard a growling noise.
You're kidding.
Yeah, so we connected it. Maybe it's the dog was trying to alarm her to wake up for it.
It sounds like it's a protector.
Yeah, no, definitely. But that was the last time we saw of it. I never saw it. That's for sure.
That's really interesting because I've never heard of anyone ever encountering a ghost animal. So that's really fascinating, Erica.
Yeah, like I saw it. Like that would be amazing. But it's just what like they told me. And then I think the last thing that happened in that house was. Something, I think it's just of a spirit that I wasn't meant to see. I was sleeping facing the cupboard because I don't face windows. And I just wake up and then I'm literally dead looking at it. It's like an Aboriginal man with dreadlocks. And he is like a green mist, not like bright green, just a mercury green mist at the end of my bed, and it was like as if I wasn't meant to see him. And he slowly walked past my bed, but as he was walking past my bed, he just slowly drifted off, like down to the floor until he disappeared. So like I've seen, you know, translucent white ghosts, dark black ghosts, and now I've seen green mist ghosts. I see them all.
That's quite interesting because it almost sounds like it's trying to travel a path that was previously there. Because you know, there's this theory that you see ghosts walk through walls and through floors because there was a building previously there that it's reliving those moments. And potentially it could have been going down a staircase of an old building that was living there, and it's just reliving that path.
Yeah, that makes complete sense.
Erica, you've lived such a fascinating life. And I think there's one thing that's kind of glaringly obvious to me is that You're extremely sensitive to, I guess, the spiritual world. And I think you might have a little bit of you might have some psychic abilities.
Yeah, well, I think it's all ended, to be honest. Like, I'm not sure. Like, that green ghost was the last one I've seen and the last thing I've fully experiencing. I'm just experiencing sleep paralysis. I can't pronounce it right, sorry, sleep paralysis now.
And you think that's just something that's completely not connected to anything that you've previously had?
I reckon it's connected. Deep down, I've never had them. And I had my first one in Canada around the time when I was living with my ex-partner. It was a gremlin racing on the bed. And then the next ones are all just dark figures trying to climb through windows to get me. But the last one I had was in May, and it was an alien. So that was I have a huge fear of aliens. So this was the most scariest. Out of all the ghosts, the alien was the most scariest, of having that hovering over my bed.
Yeah, I would be with you in that same boat because I think that would be more terrifying than the ghosts or anything like that. Just because I feel like the alien could grab you and a ghost can't.
Exactly.
Well, that's really interesting because, I mean, it's a lot of people do believe that sleep paralysis is connected to the paranormal world. They believe it's I've had people on the show before, and their theories are that it's a connection between the two realms, and you're kind of stuck in the middle of it. And there's nothing to say that that's a right or wrong answer. A lot of people do believe that sleep paralysis is just simply a scientific explanation, and there's every chance that it is. But I do believe there's a little bit of credence to the fact that it is somehow connected to the paranormal world.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. There's some type of connection. But since then, I'm just having, you know, those kind of figures in my room, but it's more of a sleeping, like, bad dreams. But now that, like, I'm pregnant, I'm just having nightmares, but I just think that's...
And you know what? My wife was the same when she was pregnant. She would have nightmares all the time. So I wonder if there's something to that with being pregnant.
Yeah, no, it's amazing because I just never used to be, you know, I have a couple of nightmares here and here, but I think I'm about nearly 20 weeks and I can't, like, my sleeps are so bad because I'm having such bad nightmares.
I should put you in touch with my wife. She'll be able to tell you all about that.
Thank you. I need it. It's my first task. I don't know what I'm ready for.
Well, Erica, I want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing those, sharing your life story essentially with us. It's a fascinating life, and I'm glad that you're not seeing the ghosts in basically every place that you're going to, and you're not having the negative connections to them anymore. And I really do hope that the sleep paralysis starts to, I guess, lessen. Because yeah. That would be absolutely terrible to have for how long it may go for.
Yeah, no, definitely. Especially with, you know, the bub coming into the picture now. I just hope to God that she cannot see anything. I hope she's not burdened with what I can see.
And that's going to do it for tonight. And remember, if you have had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au. Or you can message me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/BelieveUFORadio. Until next time, stay safe, and you've been listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.